The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Yo, this is Phoenix Jones. This is the Nerdy Show. Get your mind right.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Jan.
And this is a very special episode of Nerdy Show.
I like special stuff.
Oh yeah, I know. I know you do, because I do too. Here's why it's special. One, this episode, we're covering a fan-chosen topic. It was originally going to be a microsode, which is a 15 to 30 minute episode, but guess what? We're embiggening it. We're making it special. That topic is professional wrestling, and we have a guest, and it is Brian Knobbs of the Nasty Boys.
You know, I think at this point it's a macrosode. It's big.
Enormous. Massive.
Like there's girth to it.
Yeah, real girth. Oh, and it's ripe. And the other is that this episode of Nerdy Show is also not just a podcast, but a video episode. We're premiering Nerdy Show content on the Nerd Nation Network on YouTube. So you can listen to this in the car. You can watch it at home. If you're watching while you're in the car,
you can watch it.
Not advisable. We do not advise that.
But what you can do is have someone drive in front of you and have one of those little kid screens.
Yes,
and have it drive in the kid screen and you can watch through the back window.
You'll still crash and die, but I won't be in the car, so it's okay with me.
It's not our problem.
Yeah, it's not my problem.
We mourn your loss.
Yeah.
God. All right.
So this episode, Professional Wrestling, is brought to you by Nerdy Show fan Twomper.
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 I like Twomper.
Is that the thing in Mario that...
That's a thwomp.
That's a...
With a TH.
Oh, it's close.
But it is close. It is close. And really, I mean, twomp could be an onomatopoeia for when you hit the mat in pro wrestling.
It's not, but it could be.
It could be.
Could be.
I mean, it's up to you. You can have your own onomatopoeia. You choose your own signature move, so you can choose
mine.
Your own onomatopoeia. Anyway, so we're talking to Knobbs. We're going to do that. But first, I thought we should set the stage with our own experiences with wrestling, our own feelings on wrestling. And I guess I'll start by saying that up until very recently, I had next to no appreciation for it. But my eyes have been opened. And I see the drama now, the choreography, the improvisation. I see the art to it. It's still nothing I would ever follow because a bit of an indoor kid, not into sports, even when it's fictionalized sports. I mean, Mutant League football, maybe?
I mean, that's cool.
But wrestling's maybe a little too real for me still. But I love the theatricality of it. But what about you guys?
I mean, back in the day, when I was in middle school, we watched it a lot on TV.
So you actually got into it.
It was, it was a drama. It was intense. And I believed all of it was real. So I was like, holy crap, this is happening.
Can you believe
and
it?
Not only that, but it led to some of the best video games of our day. The wrestling games on N64, I played those religiously.
Mercy.
Yeah. Amazing things, and that was my experience with it. But when I got older, you know, now you actually appreciate how much work goes into it, and it's ridiculous the amount of improvisation and like exercise you have to do just to keep up with that. I don't know how they did it, because I could not.
Well, I tried for a long time, so I feel like there wasn't a time that I didn't like wrestling. Like, we watched wrestling all the time when I was a kid. In Disney's MGM Studios, WCW would perform in the early 90s, and we'd go, and my grandmother would be like, kill him, kill him.
Wow.
Kill him!
Rip his head off!
Get her in the ring.
Right? Like, that's what it was like.
And so
we watched it forever. We were the idiots in high school that would put down mats and, like, try to beat each other up.
I did that in the classroom when the teacher would walk out for, like, a minute, and we'd have no mats. But the desks would be on the other side of the room.
Oh, yeah.
Teacher would come back and be like, what have you done? Go to the principal's office.
Just full-on destruction, hurting each other. And then some of my friends actually started going into that. Like, I know a few people from when we were in high school that they would do the locals, like, the flea market circuits, and they kind of got really into it. So I've really faded away as the, like, modern storylines go, but I still have a pretty big appreciation for the sports entertainment.
I mean, they're in a lot of ways real life. That's the drama that they're doing is a superheroic drama, but it's one that's tethered into only slight mysticism rather than actual like superpowers and so on. But it's fascinating because like some of the speeches they give, they are, as we mentioned, improv. They can be almost Shakespearean. I mean, these guys are not just operating at the peak of their physicality. But they're also sharp. I mean, they're like...
I mean, they're not reading a script.
No.
No.
Like they go in, they make it up on the spot, all the challenges to each other. I got one from a recent guy, a guy named Ray White.
He's a complete, like, psychopath character.
Yeah, like an evil preacher kind of thing.
Right, like a backwoods cult leader.
His monologues are truly, truly amazing. And I'm not going to do this any justice, but here's just a little taste. This is from Monday Night Raw, July 15th, 2013. They've been lying to you, man. There ain't no such thing as a hero. Not anymore. But you have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero is. You have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. You think you need someone to pat you on the back? You think you need someone to tuck you in bed at night, kiss you on the cheek, and tell you that everything is all right? But everything is not all right! What if I was to tell you the man who made you is a liar? What if I was to tell you that your own flesh and blood turned his back on you? I would never turn my back on you. And maybe the answers you seek have been slapping you right in the face. Or maybe, just maybe, I, Bray Wyatt, the eater of worlds, have been the answer all along.
Wait, there's no way. He must have practiced that a few times personally.
I'm under the impression he made that up on the spot.
He's just going for it.
Like, I have appreciation for them because I couldn't do it that. I could not make up something that great on the spot. I would just freeze and be like, you're going down. So, I wouldn't be able to do it at all.
It's not just eater the worlds.
I'm the eater of worlds.
Well, there's so much
Galactus. And there's he thinks he's Galactus.
Well, there's so much like God like discussion there that's really creepy and dark.
What if I told you the man who made you was a liar?
Like that's dark as
hell. So, is he referring to his parents? Or,
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. The creator. I mean, he's like, it doesn't matter what it means. It's creepy.
But like stuff like that. And also, there's a comic book that I got really into. It's an indie book called La Mano del Destino by Jay Gonzo, which is based on luchador history, traditions, and all that. And it's actually set in an alternate universe where Mexico had the same post-World War II economy that America did. Ooh. So it's like a wealthier Mexico, but all political decisions are decided by luchador matches.
And like it should be.
It's about
that's what fair we should and do here, honestly.
It's about a champion whose face has been taken from him, and then he has to sort of Scott Pilgrim style take down all the people who shamed him. Amazing story. Absolutely amazing. We'll link to it on this episode's page where you can check it out and order it online. And it's brilliant because the comic itself is made to be an artifact from that world. It looks old. It looks like it's printed in the 60s. But instead of using the same CMYK that American publishing would use, it used a more fluorescent palette akin to the traditions of Mexico.
That's
like,
really
it's
cool.
So conceptual. Like that. And then actually seeing a match, a local here in Orlando at Full Sail, they shoot some of the lower tier.
Yeah, NXT.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be the WWE's like feeder program.
It's where people like make their break into the scene and get judged whether or not they're going to step up to the like the national level.
I thought you just like audition.
It's like a huge thing. Like you have to get to that level. There's lots of smaller circuits. There's a ton of smaller federations and groups. So you really have to travel around and make a name for yourself before you even get a chance to kind of break into the
I want everyone to know right now that Channing is the expert here on wrestling and all things wrestling, and I am not.
I like to think of myself as like a red mage, like a bard. Like I know
a little bit about a lot, but yeah,
it's impressive stuff. I don't relate to the audience. I don't relate to the people, to the children who I guess believe it's real, screaming and being fed by their weird, awkward, mustachioed coaches. Like tell them like scream this now. Like that's kind of creepy. But like but the choreography, everything that's happening on stage, it's so ridiculous. It's so funny. It's so well done.
You know, there are some different federations do things a little differently, too. One that's I'm a big fan of is called Chikara.
Okay.
And Chikara has this whole conceptualized comic book vibe to it. And they do, like, crazy long storylines with all these characters. They all wear masks. It's all luchador. And some characters have, like, video game powers. And at one point, he did the Konami code on his pants, which slowed down time in the match.
Shut up.
And all of the audience knew that that was what his power was.
Oh, my God.
So the audience cheered in slow motion.
Are you kidding me?
For the duration of his power.
Wow. Is this something I can go and watch
It's
later?
On YouTube. At one point, they did a whole time travel storyline where, like, 6 months ago, a guy showed up and did something that didn't make any sense. He attacked a guy that he had no beef with, and we didn't know why, and then they never addressed it. He acted like he didn't know what was going on. And then 8 months later, a storyline happened where he had to go back in time to stop something from happening.
No.
And it actually had already happened.
No.
Like, that's, it is
see,
totally.
This is originally what got me into wrestling back in the day was the extreme stories that happened.
But it kind of normalized in the late 90s.
It did, yeah. And that's current.
That's current. That,
yeah,
current.
So that's something I might want to watch.
that sounds actually amazing.
It's incredible.
Well, shit. Okay. Let's get Brian Knobs in here. Let's get some background on what it's like to actually be a wrestler, actually get some identity.
I think we got to nastyize the show.
Yeah, we need a nastyized nerdy show.
You mean nastyize the nerd? Nasticize, guys. Nasticize.
Right. Nasticize.
Get your shit right.
Yeah, you're right.
Nasticize.
Nasticize.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey.
How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Doing good.
Nice to see you.
What do we got? What are your names here? Dildo, Dickface, and Asshole?
I'm
high school
I'm
all
Dick
over.
Face.
Yeah, it's Cap, Brandon, and Chan. But,
I like Dickface.
Yeah, Cap.
How you doing, Cap?
Dickface.
Dickface, okay.
Chan.
Chad.
With an N.
Chan.
Yeah.
Like Chan and Tatum?
Exactly.
So you're going to be in the next, what's that called, Magic Mike?
Oh, Magic Mike. That's me, man.
So how you guys doing today? Thanks for having me on, by the way.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
We're hoping this is going to make Nerdy Show fan Twomper's day. He asked us to do a professional wrestling episode, so.
That's great. You know, I used to be a nerd. I was just one of the first Atari players.
Really?
Oh, yes. Remember when the ballers went ding dong, ding dong, ding dong?
I vaguely remember that.
Maybe that's
it's one of my favorites.
Maybe that's why I got into pro wrestling. I was watching that crap.
I think that was a gateway to wrestling.
Yeah,
well, you do a lot of dinking and donking back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but anyway,
dinking and donking.
Yeah. Oh, where's your mind at today?
I don't know.
I'm going to watch you or break them glasses and shove them up with a sundown shine. I'll tell you that right now.
So just before we brought you, we were talking about how excited we were to nasty size our show today. We're really excited.
Yes, we may have to nasty size it some more.
Let's talk about your origin story. You started in 86.
Well, it started out me and my partner Sags. We grew up in Whitehall, PA, and, you know, we played Little League together. At 10 years old, his tooth was already missing. He only had half a tooth. And I asked him what happened, and he said, my brother shot it out with a BB gun. So I knew I'd be friends with this guy forever, you know? So years later, you know, we grew up, went to the same high school, and, you know, we both got out, and I went in the Army, and he went into college, and he got kicked out for hitting the homeowner over the head with a keg of beer.
Dude,
and,
I did the same thing.
You know, and I would rather not say how I got discharged from the Army, but it was a general honorable discharge. So
thank
now,
you for serving.
So, yes, well, thank you. And then we go back, and we're getting in barroom fights all the time and really in a lot of trouble. And my dad works for the township where the police, you know, have their station and everything. So they start telling my dad, hey, your kid's doing this. And, you know, he's with Sakanovich right there. And, you know, our real names, we shorten them down. I'll tell you that story in a minute. But finally, you know, it came down to Matt Millen, who played for the Oakland Raiders, was a friend of ours. He was five years older. And he got us and called us over to his house and said, hey, if you guys don't stop it and get your shit together, you're going to wind up in jail. And he said, hey, Knobs, why don't you try that professional wrestling? You always loved it, you and Sags. Why don't you try it? So back in the day in Allentown, they used to have the TV tapings there. And they always would, you know, have them there. And then we got a hold of one of our friends that ran the hotel. And he knew George Steele really good, the Animal.
Yeah.
So we bugged George the Animal. And one time we bugged him. And, you know, he might have not wanted to get bugged at the hotel. So the next day, he did give me a call, and he invited me and Sag down, and here he had Jimmy Snuka, Bob Orton Jr., and I think it was Don Morocco waiting to kick the living hell out of us.
I was going to say, was it a trap?
Yeah, it was a trap, but I called him, and at the time, we were working, and, you know, after that, I called him, I said, we couldn't make it. He said, well, if you're serious about going to wrestling and want to be a pro wrestler, go to Vern Gagne School, and that'll either make you or break you, and he wasn't lying. Brad Reagans was our trainer, and he was an Olympic champion in the 76 Olympics. He won a bronze. 80 Olympics, we boycotted, but he won the gold medal in the World Games against the Russian in 79. But after they boycotted the 80 Olympics, he got into pro wrestling. Vern has this guy being his enforcer. So when I got in, me and Sag get to the wrestling school, there ain't no fucking wrestling ring. There's Olympic mats. And for 3 months, we trained on Olympic mats and got thrown around like we were training for the Olympics. Like, I was like, I didn't sign up for this. And we started with 22 people. And me and Sag were the only ones to survive that camp.
Wow.
And there were awesome people that went through that camp, including Ricky Steiner, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, Nord, the Barbarian, or the Berserker. There's just a list of talent that went through Bern Gagne School. And, I mean, we got killed. And the only reason me and Sag didn't leave is our car broke down, and we lived on the bottom of Brad's, and the school was right there, so there was no way. We were, like, caught in a trap, so we had to we had to get tortured every day. Getting flipped around like you're a wet noodle by Brad Reagan's and doing, we're actually Olympic style wrestling. I'm like, where the hell are the turnbuckles? Where are the ropes? When is this stuff going to start? And then the worst was old Vern Gagne would come down at 60 some years old, take his tie off and then take his shirt off and get down on the mat with you and put you in these called shooter holes that can actually break your whole wrist, your arm, your leg. And he get you in this hole and you're going, please, Dover, yes, yes.
This is why I didn't get into wrestling. Well,
it was a respect value that they tried to teach back in the day. The old school mentality was just like here in Florida with Eddie Graham. They broke Hulk Hogan's leg. Matsuda broke his ankle the first time he tried out.
Whoa.
And that was the thing back then. They didn't want you to get past. They wanted you to be tougher than nails, and it was a respect thing.
Wow.
And they don't do that nowadays no more. I mean, you can't, but... You know, I think that's why wrestling maybe changed a little bit, because back in the day, they taught you respect first. And then when you were finished, you didn't get right in the ring. You refereed you drove the ring truck first, and then you refereed. And me and Syke drove the ring truck for about 6 months. But when the ring didn't show up to a town one day and we were sitting at home drinking a beer, Vern gave us a call and said, never in my 25 years of owning the wrestling AWA business has the ring never shown up to a town. And I said, it wasn't our turn to drive it. And the other time was we were late, and we used to go out partying with, like, you know, Mr. Perfect, Jimmy Snuka, right. Colonel the Beers, Hawk and Animal. And then all of a sudden we're driving, and we're late already. So now the main eventers are always late to come to the show. Supposed to be there an hour before. So they're even late. They come there maybe showtime or whatever. And all of a sudden, Kurt said he was driving. God bless his soul. He was one of our mentors, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. He was, isn't that the ring truck? And me and Zach were driving the ring truck. So we had to set the ring up while the people were there. And Fern was crazy. Who do you guys think you are? So after that, we were no longer ring truck drivers. And they moved us up to reffing. And from reffing, we went to wrestling. And our first matches, we were in Stevens Point, Wisconsin for ESPN.
Jeez.
I was Brian Knobs. I had the one singlet with my one boob hanging out that flopped around because I really didn't have the
body. Was that your idea? Did you come up with that? Or did someone like set that up for you? Like your
no, my real last name is Yendrizovic. So I go out and raid a crippler. Stevens was at the, we call it the gorilla position now, named after Gorilla Monsoon. But before the wrestler goes out, and he goes, what's your name, kid? And I said, Brian Yendrizovic, sir. He says, what? Brian Yendrizovic, you're going to have to change that shit. Well, my nickname growing up was Knobs.
Why?
Well, I used to take doorknobs off. I used to take the channels off the TV.
Oh, I used man. To chew on them thing.
And all that stuff. And
I still do.
And my uncle gave me the nickname Knobs, and it stuck with me.
Wow.
And then Sags was so because perfect. Of his last name, Saganovic. But I went to him. How does Knobs sound, sir? Brian Knobs. He goes, that sounds good. Get the hell out there. And that's how Brian Knobs was born.
Was your first match just completely improv? Or was it just like, go out there, do whatever?
No, back in the day, it was more your improv. That you learn different moves and counter moves. And that's what it was. You know, if someone throws you in, you know, hip toss, boom.
But they weren't like, you're the good guy or he's the bad guy. And this
yeah, they were still, well, they were still kind of, I wrestled Johnny Rich, Tommy Rich's cousin. And he was definitely the good guy, so I went out and got on the people and was presumably the bad guy, which, you know, I preferred in my days of wrestling. It's better, you know, somebody to eat shit than, you know, have to kiss their ass.
Than to not eat shit. Yeah, exactly.
Kiss their ass.
You kind of made a name being a heel.
You've been a heel far more than you've been a face, right?
You know what? About half, because they changed us in WWE. The fans changed us. Oh. And then the same thing happened in WCW. We were heels, and then... The fans changed us in WCW.
How did the fans change?
the fans just started rooting for you. Like, there was, you know,
that's awesome.
One day they liked us. You're like, what the hell?
All the stuff we were doing, you're like, pity city that you're going to get later when your face goes in my armpit.
I'm looking forward to it.
And, you know, just the way we acted and, you know, the way we acted outside the ring also. I mean, back in the day, the wrestlers that came up, part of their persona was actually what is inside them. Like the Jake the Snakes, like the Rick Martels, like I said, Hulk Hogan's. There will never be another Hulk Hogan, ever. And there's John Cena, there's The Rock, but he's the one that stamped it and blew it out to generations to come and made it this big, along with Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Them two together were phenomenal. Without them, wrestling wouldn't be as big. But back in the day, you had the Bruno Sammartinos, Superstar Billy Grahams, Dusty Rhodes. I mean, the name list goes on and on. The Funk Brothers. You can never say one person, but you can say Hulk Hogan was the one to stamp, boom, and went nationwide. Back in the day, there used to be little territories. So AWA, NWA, and WWWF were the big ones. You know, it was three Ws, Worldwide Wrestling Federation, I think it was called. Then there was NWA, and then there was AWA, American Wrestling Association. That's what we were in. That was in Minnesota. People like wrestling there because most of the time, you wrestle only half the year, you made good money, and the other half you were off because it snowed, bad weather, whatever, yeah. Right. Back in the day with WWF, I mean, it was a grind. We were going 300 days a year, double shots on Saturday and Sunday. Like, you'd go Detroit during the afternoon, fly to Chicago at night, Minnesota during the afternoon, fly somewhere else at night, you know. Like, that they were close.
So how are you not worn out all the time? Because I'm worn out listening to it.
You just get in that mode and you go and you're there to not, you know, only wrestle but entertain. And, you know, you're making good money, so you just suck it up. You know what I mean? Nowadays they have trainers and everything.
I mean, I would have given
up.
Back
in our days, we just had locker room doctors and locker room lawyers that told you, I think this is wrong with you, but you had to wrestle the next night because if you didn't, you didn't get paid.
Get back out there.
Yeah, wrap it up, you know, tape it up, and go back out there and
wrestle.
Tuck
it in.
Yeah, whatever, you know. He's going to get pity city.
I know.
I might have given him the Rikishi. I didn't wipe too well today.
I was teaching him about what that meant earlier, so he's ready. He's ready.
Rikishi, he'll put the ass in the face, you know, we'll give you the old stink face.
Yep. Yeah, but I do that to other people, so it's what I deserve, I guess.
It's justice is what it is.
Yeah, but if you get Pity City, that's a stinky, nasty situation.
So, if you're not familiar with Pity City, that's Knob's trademark move. It involves his armpit.
Me and Sag, we take our opponents when they're down and put them in our sweaty armpit after we've been sweating for about 15 minutes, especially if we didn't take a shower the night before.
Yeah, I'm a little scared right now.
Yeah, it gets pretty rank in there, you know. We didn't
get deodorant, I'm assuming.
We didn't get the word nasty boys for nothing. Hey, nasty I am, baby. What can I say?
Did you come up with that move, or was it like a marketing thing? Or were you like, this is our move?
We came up with it, and then Roddy Piper kind of said, hey, only use it on special occasions.
Every occasion special,
you know,
Piper.
Because he said, you know, then the fans will want it more and more, and that's what happened. And, you know, we had a lot of teaching from a lot of great wrestlers, from the Jimmy Snukas to the Hulk Hogans to the Roddy Pipers, that gave us advice along the way to hone our craft, which wrestling is definitely an art form. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can go out and do what we do.
Nope.
And, you know, it's an honor that the fans, when I go to these Comic Cons, they still come up and they love us and they want pictures with us. And they say, your era in the early 80s was still on our minds. We taught our kids to watch the videotapes we have and all that stuff. The fans made us. Without the fans, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here talking with you right now. 27 years later, I'm still out there doing it. June 7th, I'll be out there at Citi Field at New York Mets Stadium, the old Chase Stadium that we're having Legends of Wrestling. Something I started with my partners, Frank Santini, Goldberg, and Uncle Louie. It's more like we're bringing all of our friends, all our rowdy friends back together.
And then beating each other up.
So, we got the Bret Hart, Goldberg, Ric Flair, RVD, Demolition, the Nasty Boys, Lita, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I mean,
there's just so many names.
RVD.
That's crazy. I mean, I need to watch this.
Yeah, you can't watch it. It's only going to be at Citi Field.
It's not like televised. Yeah, no.
But we are going to different stadiums. We're doing it with Major League Baseball, and we got stuff going with the military right now, and looks like we're going to try to get in with the NFL and NBA and also all kinds of stuff. So if you go to thelegendsofwrestling.com, you can even hire the Nasty Boys if you want them at a bachelor party. Hey, If you want to bring Babs to the party, hire the Nasty Boys, baby. We'll show you what it's all about. Okay. I'll tell you.
Okay. This is important. How much and what do you get?
That's why you got to go to the website and talk to the manager. You know, and you get it all, brother. Let me tell you. You don't want to get us in a teabag or nothing like that, but you'll have the time of your life.
That's going to be a party where the cops are involved at some point.
That's why, you know, the Nasty Boys got their rep. It was the rep not only inside the ring, but outside the ring there were stories, too.
So, I heard you got into some legitimate scuffles.
Well, one time after a match.
One time after a match,
I actually, you know, it was me, IRS, Mike Rotundo, and my partner, and we're driving back from a match after we just got Subway. And we're going back to the hotel, and this guy kept on pulling in front of us, jamming on the brakes, trying to swerve us off the road. We're going, what the hell is this? And finally, they jammed on the brakes, and the one guy comes out, so I get out of the front, like, what's your problem, buddy? He throws a swing, and I blocked it, and I grabbed him, I started punching him, and all of a sudden, I knocked him down. The other guy gets out of the car, and right then, I felt tons of blood coming out of my hand. I said, Sags, he got a knife. Here, the guy lunges at Sags. And hit Sags, his lucky Sag had a leather jacket. I hit him here. Sag front faced him and smashed him into the concrete. This is in the middle of the road, like on a back street road here. And then Mike Rotundo got the one guy, and while my partner and the other guy down, this other guy came out with jumper cables and flashed Sag from here to here.
Oh, twirling jumper cables. Jesus.
So now we got these
what
guys.
What city was this?
Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah, don't go there.
Illinois?
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be Detroit.
No. And after that, this was after a match. We must have got so much heat, but whatever we did in the ring, that they wouldn't like, kill us or whatever. The guy had a boot knife. So I thought he was punching me. He was actually stabbing me here, there, and one in my stomach down here.
Oh, wow.
You know? So then afterwards, we got him laid out. We said, screw the guys laying on the ground. Got to go to the hospital. They put it in. We rushed to the hospital. I keep my arm up. And I had a Oakland Raiders sweatshirt that cut me off at the bottom. So Sag comes in with me. They put me in a wheelchair. I come running in. They stand me up. Now we're in the emergency room. And Sag's right behind me. And they flipped the sweatshirt up. And all the blood coagulated together. And it all went on the floor and went, boop, 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 boop. And my partner went, oh, my God, his liver. And I went, he's like, get him out of here. I fainted right there. And then when I came out, everything, you know, was good.
Well, that wasn't really your liver, was it?
No. It was all the blood, though, that came down and stuck like in a fire. But you know what? Had to go to court and everything. And they did do some time, the two guys, just over wrestling. I mean,
what?
Some fans that were at.
Oh, they were fans. Okay, that's the part I didn't get. They were fans.
Yeah, they were fans after the matches,
not
followed
anymore.
Us, and no, they were fans that hated us so much that they wanted to, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll tell you the truth, that happened back in the day to a lot of wrestlers when they came out. There was none of them guardrails there. You had to watch what city you were in because, you know, guys like
they just come right
Gene
up.
Anderson and Ole Anderson, mm-hmm. guys would come in and try to stick them or stab them, like even when you wrestle in Puerto Rico.
No metal detectors back
then.
And
when you wrestle Puerto Rico and stuff, you had to watch it all the time because the fans would go crazy. I mean, one time when we were in Singapore, we jumped the Killer Bees, and the whole fans, they all charged the ring, and they were throwing shoes at us, water bottles, and everything. We had to fight our way back to the locker room.
Oh, my
room,
God.
You know?
Oh
see,
my.
Like, okay, if I saw this, like, televised, I'd be like, that stage. It's not at
no,
all.
No, that wasn't holy stage shit. At all.
Jesus Christ.
It feels when like you got in the locker room, going, yeah, I got that son of a bitch. Bam, man, I got this
but
son of a
but then it gives
bitch.
You a chance to beat up a fan if they're going after you. you can't normally do that until
no,
they go after you.
If they come in underneath over that rail inside the ring, it's
fair
open.
Game.
Oh,
it's
fair game.
You're like, I was waiting for this, buddy.
It is rabbit season.
Bam.
Listen, one time we jumped in at a steel cage match against Ultimate Warrior. Right?
Yeah,
all right. God bless his soul. And against Sergeant Slaughter. He was a bad guy. And here comes me and Sag. We jump in the cage at the end, start beating on the Warrior. Like 5 seconds into it, some guy jumped on our backs. He jumped over the rail, up the fence,
over the cage.
He went over the cage. It was the old kind of cage with the big squares.
Twitch, right?
So he got over, boom, jumped on our backs. All of a sudden, Sag goes, who the hell is that? I said, I don't know. We turned around. Boom, Sag beat the hell out of him.
There's no one like watching
and
the
not,
cage.
Now the cops get him, right? And now the next day it's in the paper. Here he was wanted for some kind of real warrant. He did a felony, like bank robbery or something like that.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, you saved the day.
Yeah, we saved the day.
That's when you became the hero.
Yeah, that's probably when we became the hero.
That's a heel face.
That was
hard.
I think it was Hartford, Connecticut. Yeah.
It sounds like you guys have it rough, and I would never want to do this.
I got to tell you, your name in towns that I don't normally think of as being like rowdy towns, and the weirdest shit happens
there.
Well,
the fans get crazy. And down south,
sports fans,
down
man.
South, they can get crazy. Texas can get crazy.
Well,
you know?
Texas.
Oh, I believe that.
You know, it's part of the job, but nowadays it's more safe. They had the rails around the ring. They have this, you know, back in the day, you know, it was full bore, blown out, you know. I lived like a Rolling Stone for like 15 years. I just don't look like Keith Richards yet.
Thank goodness for that. Thank goodness for that. Yeah. So it only took him 30 years to put up some safety measures.
Safety measures and good for all the boys.
So monologues for promos. That's impressive work. You mentioned Ultimate Warrior, like his Crash the Plane monologue from WrestleMania 6 is incredible. So like, what's the art of the monologue? You're talking about all the training you did. What about the training to do something like that?
That came out inside. And another thing today, and you know, everything changes, even in baseball, football, they can't hit the quarterback like you used to. In wrestling today, it changed that they have writers and producers and they're writing guys their stuff. And I don't prefer that as much. And, you know, I've even talked to Stone Cold about it, and you know, he don't really agree with it too much because Stone Cold made his living being Stone Cold. Nasty Boys made his living being Nasty Boys. Ultimate Warrior made his living. And that came out from inside you, the interview, like Hulk Hogan. I'm driving brother down the 405 with my Harley, you know. That came out from being Hulk Hogan. Now, how can you write for Hulk Hogan if you're not Hulk Hogan?
I agree.
You know what I mean? That comes from your inner self. And that's how it came. It used to come from your inner self. You'd be thinking of that. Take a walk down Nasty Boulevard. Hey, come to Nastyville, baby, you know. And it just comes to you, and it's part of you being who you are. So people will say, oh, your era, you know, was unforgettable, this and that. Well, that was them guys. You were yourself. Jake the Snake had awesome interviews. He used to be slow talking. You know, you could tell what he's going to say, but he was real devilish as what he said. But that was part of Jake. It came out of the person, and today they don't have that. I think, I'm not sure how they do with the big guys anymore, but I know a lot of it is written down, and they want you to say what's on the card. And back in the day, it was all ad lib, man. You went out there, and you did an interview, and you did it. It came from the heart. And you used to have to do one for every town. Like when we got the TV, we'd be in an interview booth for sometimes 2-3 hours doing every individual town we're going to be in the next month and a half. You know, like Peoria, Illinois. I'm coming back, so don't stab me this time.
you know, can laugh about it now.
Just now, it's okay. It's just a few stab wounds. Whatever.
And you know what? My big stomach helped me. He didn't get to the good stuff.
That probably saved you, actually.
I'm going to die as soon as I get stabbed. So I need to eat more. I need to eat more right now.
Yeah, there you go. One of my favorite stories is Macho Man was apparently bet some amount of money to just pick something on the breakfast table and do a promo on it. And it's his cream of the crop with creamers promo. Did you guys ever do any weird, like, someone's like, oh, yeah, you got a cup promo, but, like, say dick in it or something. You know, they'll say something about underwear or something weird like that.
Not really. I mean, I mean, if you had something to talk about, you always tried to keep it within what you were doing.
Right.
Now, if you're in a city that has different, like, a sandwich or something, you might even name that deli. I'm going to go down to this, you know, place and eat and whatever.
Yeah, Cleveland Steamer.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And after you, I'm going to throw it up in your face after I slam you and body slam you 25,000 times.
Oh, directed to me, I think.
Two boys, one cup.
One time, seriously, Sag ate a strawberry shortcake from Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know?
Oh, Jesus.
They made those? Yeah, back in the day. And I said, what are you eating that before a match for? Before you know it, and this was in Mid-South. I was the Memphis territory, Mid-South Coliseum. Before you know it, it was laying in the ring. I went, now everybody's wrestling around it, you know? This big piece of strawberry shortcake you barfed up in the ring.
Oh, man. That's not good.
Nasty boys. Wonderful.
Someone should have just scooped up and thrown it, but...
I mean, that place was officially Nasticized.
Definitely. Oh,
that's how it's done.
That's how it's done the right way.
Throw up in the ring, keep wrestling.
And that's why we said they're a bunch of nasty boys, you know?
So Brandon here wants to learn how to be as nasty as possible, and he actually has come up with a few names of moves. But he doesn't know what to do with them. So he's curious, if he gave you the names, if you could help him devise what these moves might be.
I wrote some names down. I have no idea what they mean, but in your mind, what you think they should be.
Okay.
So one of them is called the Brown Mist.
The Brown Mist, please. Your head needs to get out of the porno book.
The Brown Mist. That's going to cut out half of his suggestion.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, another one I had was like the Pink Tail. Like, what would that be?
The Pink Tail.
Exactly. I don't know what it would be.
No.
See,
that's why you're a nerd.
See, that's why I don't know if it's a nerd.
But you still have the sense of mind of maybe one day I can get the right name.
No. Well, there's like the crotch cracker, but that pretty much tells you what it's going to be. I don't know how.
Which is a saltine cracker.
Yeah, it's a
cracker. Versus the Brown Mist. That's the crotch cracker.
You know where my mind is, right?
I don't know where the hell your mind is right now.
I had one that was the Hiroshima. I don't know what that is.
You must be the wacky nerd.
Yeah. Yes.
Jesus.
I'm the video game nerd.
Or the perverted nerd. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Though we're all pretty guilty of that.
Of that.
Yeah. I mean, look at us.
What was it like getting yourself put in video games, action figures, that process of becoming larger than life to that.
Do you own them?
Unbelievable. Well, I have them at home, but I always loved my action figure because my action figure always had muscles and no gut and always looked fantastic.
I didn't know how to do that back then.
You know, the face looked good too. There's nothing like having your own action figure. It's unbelievable. It makes you really feel proud that you did something in this pro wrestling business, which is so hard to get into because there ain't too many spots to go. It ain't like Major League Baseball. It ain't like NFL where you have 32. It ain't like you have 32 teams or whatever and such big roster. They only have so many people. And nowadays, it's kind of mixed so that there's only one big league, which is WWE, and they still put out a number one product. So, I mean, without going to WrestleMania 7 and winning the belts off the Hart Foundation, that's what stamped and legitimized the Nasty Boys. Yeah. And now I'm here with the nerds.
There you go.
That's it, baby.
That's what happens.
You know, I mean, I really was proud with every action figure. Even the last one I brought out was with me, Sag, and Jimmy Hart in a 3-pack for the WWE.
Oh, that's awesome.
And with the megaphone, and they had our sunglasses in there. And,
awesome.
You know, and my wife made all these shirts. She flash painted them by hand. And we used to wear the sweatshirts. You know, we just came up with an idea. And back in the day, we came out and we had like spandex. If you see our first match, we had yellow spandex and black tights with like a double Olympic.
Double side singlet,
you know. So Jerry the King Lawler came and said, "You guys call yourself the Nasty Boys, but you really don't dress like it." And we said, "You're right." So we came out and we were the first ones to start covering up our body. Thank the Lord. So we came with the sweatshirts and the splash paint.
Yeah, everyone else
and
was
the
just
Nasty Boys. And, yeah, and everybody else had some other kind of gimmick, but we started covering up. We wore them gloves in the beginning. And then one thing we didn't like was Lawler wanted to paint our faces, and we did that in the beginning. And he was a great artist, Jerry Lawler. He painted our faces, but we didn't like that because the Road Warriors were like that. Mm-hmm. The Road Warriors painted their faces. We wanted to be just these haircuts and be who we were, so we got rid of the paint. All we had left out was our arms, so when we worked out, our arms looked good. And, you know, if they got any smaller, we would just wear long-sleeve sweatshirts, you know what I mean? So
you guys kind of changed everything with that, because you look at just a few years later,
everybody started covering up. It was a kind of a change. It was called the cover-up, and now a lot of people do it. But nowadays, they're back to everybody is all tatted up, and everybody wears their trunks. And back in our day, there were so many different guys, like I was talking about before, with different gimmicks. Like you had Boss Man, you had Nails, you had, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, you know. I mean, just different people that everybody had like a different persona and a different look that not everybody looked the same, you know. Even Doink the Clown, please.
He's one of my favorites. Oh, he was a clown. He had like joint buzzers
and stuff.
Yeah,
probably why I don't know about him, yeah.
And then he had a miniature version of him named Dink.
Yeah, Dink.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was great.
Was it a short person?
Yes.
A little person.
It was a midget.
A midget, yeah.
I could
As
call
they preferred
him,
to be called.
I could call him midget because I did Hulk Hogan Celebrity Championship Wrestling, and then I went from that, I went to Michael Championship Wrestling, which was Midget Championship Wrestling, and they preferred to be called midgets to people I hung around with. like Justice and Meatball and Blicks and Demo. They were all, and then there were three girls, Trixie, and there was Jersey Jess and Darla.
Sounds like a good time.
And, you know, I was, stuck in a 1985 Winnebago for 6-7 months. Let's see if you could handle that for
I couldn't handle it for 7 minutes.
I dreamt the midgets for like 9 months after that. Instead of sheep, there were midgets going around in my head.
So Nobbs, you got the Legends of Wrestling. What are some key dates people should know about coming up?
June 7th at Citi Field. They can get in contact by going to Mets.com/wrestling. And tickets are on sale. We got everybody coming out there. I mean, there's also different signings going on. It's like a WrestleFest. Pictures that you can take in the ring with different wrestlers. So it's going to be fun. And then July 31st, we'll be down at the Marlins Stadium. It's going to be me and my partner, Cactus Jack, or Mick Foley, Kevin Nash, and the new guy that got put in the Hall of Fame. Yay! Whoa! Bushwhacker Luke's coming down there with us. And we got a bunch of other things coming on along with some Comic Cons. I love going to the Comic Cons. They're really a lot of fun.
So you have your origin story. You fought your way up from nothing. You became the Nasty Boys. Yeah. The fans decided when you were heroes or not. You stopped a bank robber.
You got stabbed.
this is pretty much a superhero story.
From every movie I've ever seen, you're pretty much a superhero at this point.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. I was rather than ever called a superhero, but
I'm pretty sure you are.
It feels good to be one. Yeah. Pity City's coming, baby.
Are you serious about that? Are you serious about taking us to Pity City?
Yes. Pity City. Yes, I'm taking us to Pity City. We will find a ring close and might even show you a few things. You won't get hurt, I promise.
Everyone will have pity on me once it happens.
Oh, my God. Okay, so if that's a for real thing, that's going to be a separate video. We're going to wrap up this interview segment. Nob, thank you so much for joining us for this. This has been incredible.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to Twopper for requesting this Nerdy Show episode. If you would like to also request your own Nerdy Show topic, easy to do. We're entirely listener supported. You can back us on Patreon at patreon.com/nerdyshow. All you got to do is sign up in the proper tier, get yourself a microsode. We do monthly drawings. Nobs is all into it. You can also, if you can't afford to support us on Patreon monthly, if you purchase stuff on Amazon, and I'm certain you do, I know there's a lot of wrestling merchandise on Amazon. All you got to do is go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon, and it gives back to Nerdy Show. What you'd be buying anyway, we get something back. It's incredible. So do it if you can. And also, if you haven't heard yet, Nerdy FM, our 24/7 nerd music radio station at nerdy.fm, we have an app now. iPhone and Android, you can listen to that music anywhere you want, anytime. Favorite tracks, if you hear something you like, come back to it later. Never be without Nerdy Show in your pocket, giving you the best nerdy entertainment in the multiverse.
I even gave him sign a pair of shitty underwear for me. You can put on Amazon. For the Nerdy Show.
My underwear is literally shitty right now, so that would work.
God,
I had too much coffee and anasticized it.
Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for watching. Remember to subscribe to us for the video on the Nerd Nation Network. And also, hey, just check out Nerdy Show on YouTube as well, because we're everywhere you want to be. Facebook, Twitter, all that. Like us, follow us. And taking us out is a track from Corey Johnson, who made an incredible record based on the score of the video game Earthbound. But just like that game, it was infused with a lot of pop culture elements. And this particular track we're going to play, well, it's actually the first place I heard Ultimate Warrior's Crash the Plane monologue, because it's embedded in the background of this. This is the music that plays in the game when you get game over and the game asks you if you have the strength to continue on. And he juxtaposed those concepts. This is Ode to Timothy by Corey Johnson from his album, Earthbound.
You boys have just been nasty-sized. Get it out. We're down.
Thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
I'm Jan.
I'm the Nasty Boy, and we're all nerdies here, baby.
As you travel by conventional means, the normals you travel self-destruction. Do you, Hulk Hogan, show self-pity? Do you, Hulk Hogan, try the reason why? Or do you, Hulk Hogan,
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to Nerdy Show via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we got it covered.